The point of having the conversation is so that everybody can be a part of the actualization process. And by forcing more boxes or forcing the pedantic or semantic debate, we are only slowing down our organization's ability to continue to grow, enhance, and advance.
Too busy staring at the bark to see the tree or the forest.
100%. And maybe this is like my personal rub. There's so many common patterns. And arguing if we need a value structure map or a customer journey map, or if we're going to use a value chain model versus a customer experience CX model, not super useful. The usefulness of it is, do we understand where our customer enters, customer exits, and how we are going to organize? And I think this is like one of the things, Dave, with leading agile transformational work that they've always been really great at is, don't be dogmatic to a framework. Don't be dogmatic to a tool. Tailor it to what you need it to be. So if for our organization, we produce both shoes and apps, we might say we have digital products and physical products.
Sure.
And like that's our nomenclature. But any further debate on, well, why is it digital and why is it not technology? Does it matter? Like, I don't know. I don't think it does. You're just slowing down the agreement of how we can quickly move forward.
Hey, this is Dave Pryor. Welcome to Leading Agile's Sound Notes. This is a podcast that has been, I've been waiting for months. So I'm really excited that Andrew and Mary are here. We're going to talk all about what is a product and where that conversation came from in a moment. But first, I would like to thank you both for being here and invite you to introduce yourselves to these people. So Mary, you're like a frequent flyer on the podcast now, but how would you explain to folks who haven't watched all our value stream mapping podcasts what you do?
I'm a managing consultant and a strategic business architect at Leading Agile. Basically, what that means is I help use tools to help organizations solve problems.
All right, cool. And Andrew?
Yeah.
Also frequent, but you weren't part of our value stream mapping conversations.
Wasn't part of it. And it has been a while, Dave. We've taken a little hiatus, so I'm glad to be back. I'm a managing director here with Leading Agile, and I come from a product design background. Maybe a slight cheat to where we're going is I think that everything and every organization and the organization itself is a product and is the first product. And that's kind of always been my ethos is, you know, our first product is the teams we build. And so from a Leading Agile lens and what we do, while I do have this product-y background, I believe that our first product and what we focus on is our teams and our people. And maybe you can call that governance and structure and metrics and processes, but just building quality spaces for people to do the best work. That's the product I like to put into the world is people's opportunity to really thrive.
Okay, cool. And that I now have a rabbit hole that's just waiting over in the corner to jump into later on. But I want to give the folks that are here sort of some background. So we have these calls a couple times a week for Leading Agile where we sort of review accounts and things that are going on. And there was one a couple months ago now. But in the middle of it, all of a sudden this conversation came out of nowhere where somebody said, well, what is a product? And that was something that you kind of shared a story about being at a client and working through that question. And that sent me down like weeks of like, well, is this a product? Is this a product? Is this a product? So I'm wondering if we can kind of dig into that a little bit, kind of where that came from, if you can talk about, without naming the client, some of the work that happened there.
Yeah, so your story is really resonant with what leaders are struggling with. I mean, some of our client work is this a product and do I actually care if we call it a product or not? And if I think about projects and this shift of projects to products or outputs to outcomes, you know, is the outcome at the product level? Is the outcome at the company level? Do I care about funding a product or a product team? Do I care if that product is an internal product or an external product? Do I care if it's a physical or a digital? Do I care if those people over there, whoever those people are, say, well, I'm a service, so I don't get clustered into that conversation. Like, so that, Dave, was really the foundation of hosting a conversation with, well, you can't put me in that same budgeting conversation or worry about me in the same way because I'm a service. And I had this visceral moment with this leadership team of, Yeah, maybe, fine. Call it a service, call it a capability, call it a product. I actually don't really care what we call it. And like that might be the piece of frustration here for some people is I think we're having the wrong conversation. And we get so caught up on, is this a product the same way you said it? Is it a product? Everything's a product. And the difference of product and the introduction of the word experience and then the journey and the value stream, we just have this mismatch of things that are all kind of trying to represent the same stuff.
Okay.
And I'm watching too many debates occur of, well, let's label that a product versus a service. And it's just not useful.
All right. Mary, do you want to chime in on this before I start pounding you guys with questions?
Sure. I mean, I guess I would I completely agree with Andrew in that I think people get tied up in, what a thing is. But I also think that sometimes there are subtle differences in these things. And that's where it's important that we have, common operational definitions, a common lexicon to make sure that when we say this is a product, everyone agrees what that is for that particular organization or that particular group. When we say value stream, again, we know exactly what that is, because as you know from our series on value streams, you and Lance and I all had experience working in value streams with value stream models that were very different and for very different purposes. So understanding the context in which you're using a particular tool and having a common definition to make sure you're collaborating appropriately is really important.
Okay. So that the first question that I was going to ask and what resonated for me so much in that initial conversation that you guys had on the call was, why is it so important for a company to have this conversation to get clarity on it? And why do they need to? Why haven't they already figured that out?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll refer back again to our client and the experience we had. We were actually in a workshop and we were talking about the products that they had in the organization. And what we had is we had some people in information technology that were talking about what I would consider to be solutions, such as platforms like, say, Salesforce. They were talking about Salesforce as one of their products, but they weren't. It wasn't Salesforce as a company, if that makes sense. So, in my opinion, humble opinion, I don't have the extraordinary background in product that Andrew has, but a product or service is anything of value that a company puts together. It's a set of capabilities that are brought together with a number of solutions that deliver something valuable. They solve a problem for a customer.
Okay.
So, we may use solutions that we purchase from other companies and we may combine them with our unique processes and our unique skill set to create a new product owned by that organization that delivers value again to their customers.
Okay.
So making sure we understand again, what is the definition of product?
So it's just getting clarity internally on how you're creating lines between those things.
Absolutely.
But isn't it also perspective?
100%. Yeah, okay. 100%.
All right. Andrew, you look like you're about to say something, so I'm going to.
Yeah, I. Mary and I have had a chance to have some very academic conversations and some very pragmatic, application or instance-based conversations. And the emotional side of me wants to be like, all right, Mary, I hear you, but I actually don't care about the labeling that you just went through because it's not important because it's not the conversation. Like, but I also 100% agree with the thing she said. And so if I think about the question you asked, like, why is this a conversation?
Yeah.
Well, I think the perspective piece is more important. And it's the getting the clarity of how much are we arguing internally about product A and product B versus what the customer says is a product versus how we want to organize to build and develop these things. And I think about the subordination of individuals, Bob, okay. Susie, Fred, Jill, whatever they're doing, and, oh, you're just a product manager or you're just a business architect. And that what Mary, I think, was really saying was, any one of these things is so interconnected in today's world with so many other things that we have to look at the suite or the ecosystem, and I hate adding new words to it, or the platform of things, but hey, product manager, you stay in your product lane, and your product's going to do things, and you have your product OKRs and goals, and go do your product stuff.
Okay.
And like that feels subordinating.
Limiting. Yeah, it's very limiting.
Yeah, and sometimes the product, like if I think about, I'm making this up, I don't know this to be true for Microsoft, but like Spellcheck could be a product by itself. And it could be then absorbed into five other products called Word, Excel, PowerPoint.
Well, Grammarly is a great example.
Yeah. And so there's 100 of them or thousands of them that say to deliver this product, there's a collection of products inside of it. And to deliver this product, there's a collection of products inside of it. And hey, product person that's focused on the smallest one, you're less than the person who's looking at the biggest product that absorbs all these things. But every one of them individually could stand alone. And so this like nesting of products inside of products or services inside of products or products inside of a service to deliver a product. I think about like Peloton. It's a product.
Well, okay. All right. I have to ask my question now. Yeah. So I'm agreeing with everything both of you are saying. I mean, I get the attachment to name and form as a problem, but also not having names for things is a problem. But the thing that I want to ask about, and maybe you can just smack me down if this is a dumb question. You brought up Peloton. People say, what is the product? Well, maybe it's a bike. But I would argue that it's not a bike. It's hope. In the same way that Field Notes doesn't make notebooks, they make a promise of your idea being this magical thing that's going to go in this perfect little notebook that you're never going to use because you're too scared to write in it. Do you draw a line there between like a physical thing that you do or use and the emotional content that comes with it?
Yeah, I don't because my definition of a product, service, maybe even a capability, and this is where Mary and I might argue, platform,
everything
blah, blah, blah,
is connected.
Any one of those things, it's what's the value proposition? And the value proposition is we provide you, the creators provide you with a thing so you can do a thing. And that thing might be 100% emotional thing. It might be 100% in real life, like shoes. Shoes might be emotional for some people. It just might be a means to an end commodity for other people. How the user or the purchaser or the receiver of it interacts with it, we're going to let them own that relationship. And we, the creator of it, are saying, look, we believe this thing has some value to help you do a job. And at the creation of that first product or offering or solution, we might learn that it actually solves 50 other jobs we hadn't really thought about yet. And so do we want to then say, don't use that product to do those things because it's not our one directional thing. It's that conversation. Right. So if you are using Field Notes to shed emotional baggage from your last relationship, and that's where you scribe all your stuff, great. The job you're doing is shedding your emotional baggage and finding yourself again. And it just so happens that Field Notes is a version of that. But you also might have a substitute good or a fungible good that is alcohol or going for a walk in a park. The creators of that park is creating a product for you to do that with. And so it's, how do you want to solve the job?
Okay.
And job definition is both physical and emotional.
Okay. So those things are connected, but I just, for the people keeping score at home, half the room is in favor of having clarity within the organization on what a thing is, because we need to have that to have the conversations we have to run the business. And the other side is it doesn't matter. It's all stuff.
Well, and I guess I would say with the answer.
I mean, that's too reductive. I don't know another way. But putting a name on it limits it and creates like caste systems in the company because of your job title and all the other stuff that goes with that.
Right.
Right?
I don't know that. So that might have sounded like the representation that I think I was speaking towards.
Did I mansplain it?
Well, I think I miss the representation of why. So I'm with Mary, like at the practical level with this group of people in this company, we need to brand some things, whatever they are. Yeah. This is a product. This is our platform. Here's our services. We should probably find common language so that we have a shortcut for communication. And that's the value of the common language, is so that we can shortcut the communication. The other side of it, though, which is what I think I was more indexing to, was, well, that's a hard good, and we create digital things, so we have to call that one a product and this one a digital thing. Like the pedantic academic attribution of this global generalization of, well, if it's a SaaS thing, you can only call it a SaaS product, and we don't do SaaS products. Or that's dogmatic belief that a product, I can look at a thing, my iPad, right, pick it up and be like, oh, this is a product because it's hard. I can touch it and I spent money on it. Mm-hmm. Where another leader says, well, what about the things we build for our employees? They don't spend money on it. Is that a product? Like that debate, not useful. Giving them labels, super necessary for us to be successful.
And the fact that the iPad provides services to people makes it even more complicated.
That's right. And that was kind of where I was going maybe with like the Peloton one of, you know, what's the job to be done for that Peloton for Dave and Andrew and Mary? Well, it might be slightly different. For me, it's being healthy while having someone yell and scream at me. Like the only way I'm going to get motivated is with someone else doing it. For Dave, it might be I'm going to get healthy so I don't ever have to go into the world of the gym because I hate seeing other people. And so in that, we both buy the physical thing. But the sub-products or the other associated products in there or services is like that personal trainer class that I sign up for. That's part of my value proposition. And so there's a product there. There's a group of people responsible for developing the platform that then all of the crazy instructors get on. And there's a group of people then producing the content there, both products. I could just go sell you a Peloton workshop class. I could sell you the Peloton with a screen. I could sell you a Peloton without it. And is there a value in like arguing, well, the digital stuff isn't really the Peloton product, or the app that they use is different? Well, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think you're right on with that. I think you're right on. And I think our perspectives are the same. I'm talking about the importance of having a common language, especially in an organization that maybe doesn't have the maturity in the product space, right? Doesn't is looking at doing new things and thinking differently. The hope would be that they would be able to evolve, right, and see everything they do as contributing to a product.
That's right.
Or a service.
I think there's a historical frame, Mary, that a lot of people and companies have said products are things that our customers buy. And while that might be one flavor of it, I think that the evolution and shift, and Dave, this is what really sprung the conversation, is we can produce a product that never interacts with our customers because it is a service that another team inside of our organization uses to deliver the product that they're actually building. And so if we choose to build our own CAD software so we can design our own shoes versus buying that capability, as Mary talked about, the solution, they're both an offering we have so that the teams internally can develop effectively the shoes they want to do. And so inside of the frame from the customer, and this gets back to your perspective, I'm a brand new shoe company and all we produce is one shoe. So that to the customer, there's one product. It's this shoe in different sizes. But internally, when we talk about it, we might say that we have one customer-facing product, but we also have built 10 other things. And on the horizon, we're going to build an application because one of the features of our shoe is it tracks your steps. Okay.
Well, okay.
To be able to access the tracking of steps, you need the app. So is there value in saying in the four walls, well, to the customer, that's just an app, but we're going to call it a product, but they're not going to call it a product. They're going to call it a solution to a thing and an interaction and experience.
Like, it just gets
dumb. You just have two products right now. We've got the physical shoe product and you're building an interaction experience. That's another product. And it might take different skills. The person who designs shoes is wildly different than the person building a piece of technology. And I think that debate is where like the pedantic nature of some of these leaders of like, well, don't be calling my product people technology people because they're not. Those are physical product designers.
What's the argument for doing that?
What's the argument for being pedantic?
I work at a company and I want to make those pedantic statements. Why do I want to do that? How does it help me? Why are some of them listening to this and going, nope, he's wrong?
Yeah, I think some of it is dogmatic belief and avoidance of the reality of how interwoven services and products and digital and physical are becoming, and they are losing that individual is losing span of control or budget, and they're trying to create uniqueness in that. And I think that value of uniqueness of we are special and nobody else is, so therefore call us a different color of unicorn, because we all can't be unicorns. We have too many unicorns, but you don't have enough of the purple unicorns, and I'm the purple unicorns. And I think that like ownership encapsulation of budget and specialties.
So is it okay? Is it then just the business world is still not fully caught up to the digitization of things, and that in the old days you buy a horse or a car, that's a product. You know, you go on a cruise, it provides a service. It takes you from point A to point B. But now everything's in the internet, and maybe the distinction's too blurry, and people are still trying to map it back to the old way of doing business.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that, Dave. I carry some baggage also from like the conversation of designers. So we've talking about products and what is a designer, and the habitualization or the bastardization of like, well, a designer 20 years ago used to be just called a designer, and it was, like you said, cars and toasters or horses if we were making horses. And now a designer, some people get really upset. Well, you're a digital designer, or you're a UXer, right? And so we've created this realm of let's just make up new titles. And I'm a CXer because I'm worried about the end-to-end ecosystem. I'm not worried about the physical product. And those product people, and it's like really subordinating people. And so there's a big piece of that baggage that comes along with some of these leaders that say, while the world is changing, the world might be changing in a way in which requires more specialization. And I think that's the nuance there that I'm hearing out of some leaders today, Dave, is that when we don't be pedantic and when we don't go debate,
we get the wrong thing.
You're going to get the wrong person. And maybe, right? Like, how many times do I have a design friend click on I'm a product designer job description to find out, oh, it's physical product and I'm a digital designer? Well, why can't we just get better at like digital product design versus physical product design, or I'm an industrial designer or UX or whatever these things are? Because the same thing happens with the product managers. I've got some clients that produce both physical and digital things. And the CEO was like, why can't I just move Susie from this to this? Well, Susie's never understood technology in her life. She's really great at the physical world. So you can't just look at your org chart and say, I've got 26 product managers and I only need 22 of them. Well, you might need a distribution of certain things. So you can't just cut four of them in that story. You might have to cut 12 of them because they have the wrong capabilities.
Okay. I have questions, but Mary, do you have any retort here?
I'm just enjoying learning about Andrew.
It's a shame there's no passion behind what Andrew's saying. So with what you were just saying, there was one thing that I got stuck on. Like, the first is that, you know, in a world where we seem to be so focused on removing labeling from people, this is the exact opposite of it. But I can see where if I was hiring a designer, them having a background that evidenced expertise in creating like stuff for screens, small screens, would be very different than a designer who is accustomed to designing like office space. Maybe, right? But I also worked with a designer who, to teach people how to build websites, took them to a motorcycle exhibit. So maybe it's how you approach design.
Yeah, I think there's probably some conversation of the maturity of where someone is in a career as well. Are you focused on the solutioning of it, or are you focused on the problem framing of it? And the of it could be a full experience. It could be a physical product or a digital product. I think that as you and this is now like, oh, I'm just a strategist, because it's actually not about the solution anymore. It's about finding the problem space. So we can just obfuscate all that. And I'm a strategist, and I could be a strategist that pays attention to physical and digital all at the same time, because I'm that good, similar to your motorcycle thing. Like, I think all of that is true. And so is it more about entry level or frontline association to this? Maybe. And I think the middle does a much better job at getting this, but then the senior leadership really struggles with it again.
Or is it really just insight? The people that can see around the corners and understand that whether you're looking at a piece of office furniture or a web page or a motorcycle, it's all just design and it's all the same thing and it has to serve a purpose and be, you know, utilized by human beings.
Well, yes. And that's exactly why Mary and I so quickly aligned together on these things, because what you just said is what Mary and I believe. You have to have some skills and you have to be able to do this. And there's a job out there and you got to figure out the best solution. And from a capabilities lens, sometimes you need technology to do that. Sometimes a human doing it is a better thing or a more optimized process. And so that's where like that flavor comes in of, yeah, what you said is spot on. And too many times we're not giving our employees the space or the tools to exercise like that. Nope, you own product X, go solve product X. And don't even ask about products Y and Z because those are somewhere else. And to like isolate the creativity or the product or the architecture or what the capabilities into these specifics. And this is probably a precursor that Mary and I went round and round on is do capabilities build products or do products build capabilities? And do capabilities cluster together to deliver something and you buy that thing? Or do you then and flip it the other way? Like, which is actually the chicken and egg piece? Because many times it's capabilities come together for a product, product comes together for a new capability comes together for more product, right? And so it's this nesting thing of, does it matter where you start? And I think that's the thing that Mary and I both agree on is,
and that's kind of what we're seeing. I'm just going to throw AI out there because it seems like an example that where like you build functionality like Grammarly that gets rolled into something else that's part of something else. And it's just we're building things on top of things, which agile people should seem to like. But if I was trying to think like an investor, I could see where I might want to differentiate between types of products or types of services. So I can focus in on particular markets.
100%. And I think that that's part of that strategy to execution conversation that if a group that's doing that away from the product manager or the product is making those decisions, they're making ill-informed decisions. You're going to pull on my heart into a different direction now. Of like, is the strategy concept a function that an organization has and then product managers absorb it? Or is it a service? Or is it a shared responsibility that's decentralized into your product people, into your architects, into your engineering leads, and strategy is a cross-functional thing, right? Different patterns could both be successful. I'm not claiming, I don't think I've claimed yet that like there's one right way to articulate this, the same way that there's not one right way to build anything. Some organizations will only be successful with a directive dictatorial leader. But that's not the organization I want to work for, but there are plenty of people that do want to be in that organization. And so similarly here, some organizations will embed, and this gets into, I think, your call out. I think the speed in which technology is moving and the representation of products nested inside of other companies' products, nested inside of other company or teams' products is why this is the hot topic. We can encapsulate it for me and my company pretty easily. But then, like you said, with Grammarly, when it goes into a different tool that then is sold into another tool, and that's true with like Salesforce. Think about I buy Salesforce and I'm buying 26 integrations. Well, those integrations are just products. I could probably go buy them by themselves. And each one of those integrated products already has absorbed 20 other products. And so me as a user, do I actually know what product I'm using? Well, no, I know the interaction or the experience I'm having. And that perspective is the maybe another messy aspect of this.
Okay. So I want to ask, this just popped into my head. And I'm not sure it's going to work, but I get on a flight. Let's say it's I'm flying overseas. They bring me my meal. Now, my flight, I've purchased the flight, right? But there's the experience of being on the plane. And as part of the meal, they bring me a particular brand of wine. That wine is a product.
Yep.
The flight is a product. The experience I'm having, service or product, whatever you want to call it. There has to be a way, I would think, for companies to be able to – I mean, you have to carve off a piece to focus on, right?
Of course.
So the meal service is an aspect of the overall experience of the flight.
Let me interrupt you, Dave. I mean, I think what you're talking about is you're talking about your journey, right? That, again, mm-hmm. that experience you're having.
Good callback to the journey mapping.
Yeah, absolutely. As soon as we, from the time you get your ticket and you go through security, I mean, everything could be part of your journey. Again, depending on the context that we're putting, you know, the boundaries of that experience. And so understanding every aspect of your experience and how well you're enjoying or not enjoying that experience is critical information for the product people, really the entire company, right? The CEO needs to care about that. The CFO needs to care about it, because unless we understand the customer's experience and how they're interacting with the different products that we're providing, we can't grow our business.
Okay.
We can't solution for new and unique ways to use the product. Just like we were talking about Peloton, I was going to tell you guys, maybe I use it as a coat hanger.
That's right.
You know? Yeah. So.
Dave, let me take what Mary's saying and let me connect it with your airline one. And I'll try to go back to like the people who want to argue this or debate this, why I actually don't see it valuable. So SoundNotes Airline, we've launched SoundNote Airlines, and we know that people need to buy tickets. They need to get on the plane. They're going to have an experience on the plane. They're going to have some food on the plane. And afterwards, we're going to want some information from them. Is it valuable to argue the meal service offering? Is that a product or not? Is it a service or not? What's the value in arguing back and forth? I want to label it a product or a service, or it's a digital enabled product, or do we want to call the marketing website where you buy a ticket a product, or is it a website and is it experience? Like, I see no value in arguing about the nature of the attribution. What I see value in arguing about first is the organizational patterns of where we're going to encapsulate people to focus on things. And so do I need to call a product, and I'm just going to simplify SoundNotes Airlines for a second. We're just going to call everything a product. And so we're going to have a taxonomy. We're going to have a product taxonomy that sits on top of some capability taxonomies. And these product taxonomies, we're going to call it, and we came as a team together, and we're just going to make some language up. We've got the front-end purchasing product. And that's where you buy tickets and search flights. And inside of that product, there's actually three different sub-products. There's the transact product, take my money. There's the I don't know where you go, help me figure it out search product. And then there's this cool calendar product we've built because of flexible travel and price. Sure. And that's a competitive advantage for us. Okay, so I've got that product. And then I've got a big product over here called the in-flight product. And maybe it's called the in-flight experience, but that's a product and it's owned by a person or a group of people. And inside of there, we're going to have five sub-products again. We're going to have the physical in-flight hardware, furniture, PPE stuff. And they're working on what the chair and the lie down and the TV looks like. We're then going to have the in-flight entertainment product, which is like, what do I get digitally? And do I get games or movies or those things? I'm going to have the in-flight food product. And so we can create these Plinko chips of dominoes or pyramids that say, I don't actually care if you call in-flight meal service or a product. What we care about is we built a boundary around it, and it rolls up into this other thing, and it rolls up into this other thing, so we can focus on our outcomes. And I think that's what Mary was articulating, was too many people are not focused on the outcome of all of these things. And the reason why I encapsulated those boxes where I did is because the value prop shifted. What the customer's job was shifted. When it was the first product group I created around the front end experience.
Booking the flight.
Purchase. The whole value proposition there is for us, flexible, cheap, easy to book travel. That's it. Yeah. And then you move on to the next part of your journey that Mary was talking about, and it's the flight. I have a completely different job. And that job, hopefully, for this SoundNotes Airline is you make travel so effing easy for me that I love it and I want to travel more.
Yeah.
And then there's a final product of like the at airport destination or whatever, and there's a different value proposition there. And at some point, we might vertically integrate and go launch another product that's the post-plane last-mile travel. So we're gonna build our own competitor Uber. That's a new value proposition. So we're going to encapsulate the value propositions and talk about the jobs. And for me, don't care if you call it a product, a service, a digital, a physical, an ecosystem, an experience.
Sure.
But too many people are indexing to that debate.
Okay.
Or that's my perspective. They're indexing to the debate of, no, that's a service, and it has to be clustered over here underneath Johnny Service Leader.
Okay. I think I want to argue with it a little bit, but yeah, Mary, are you completely on the same page with Andrew on this one before I chime in?
I understand what Andrew is saying, and I certainly appreciate it. I don't know. Again, I keep going back to maturity and what I've seen in organizations, and I think what Andrew is describing to me is like a utopia. You know, it's let's make sure everybody, you know, understands that we're all here for a common goal, right? To satisfy the needs of our customers. Mm-hmm. And everybody understands how to play well, right? Because what I think some of the frustrations are, Andrew, is that it's frustrating when you're trying to help move an organization forward and the CEO or the CIO or the chief product owner is talking about what things mean, not really focusing again on what are the problems that we need to be solving as an organization. So it's kind of this discussion to me was a little bit more philosophical than I anticipated, but I mean, I completely agree with Andrew. I just don't know if it is reasonable.
So, okay. So I want to climb on that because I think I am closer to you. I understand, Andrew, what you're saying. And if I'm part of, it's like a very holistic systems view of all these things together and all the pieces, and we're all aligned behind the same deal, you know, just like the guy sweeping up at NASA, he's putting people on the moon. But
that's right.
I'm a middle manager who wants to get promoted. So I have to be able to show you how the thing I'm in charge of is better than it was before or better than that other guy's stuff. So I need a box that I can climb out of. And if everything is the same, I can't do that. Yeah, I mean, I'm arguing for like lesser angels here, but people want that. They need that.
Yeah, my only reply back is going to be a philosophical one that says,
it's two fingers philosophical response.
If you're in the organization where you're fighting out of the box, yeah, you're not having this conversation. And
that goes back to what you were saying earlier about trying to create humane organizations for people to work in, right?
Yeah, that's right. And it gets into the work Mary does and the work Leading Agile does and, you know, some of our clients. There's a spectrum. There's a spectrum of we just need to build better shit and get it out the door faster. Okay, there's a place for that. Plenty of people need to be better at building their stuff. And I would even go further to the left of that conversation. Just predictably build whatever it is they're being told to build better. And then there's we need to probably build the right stuff. And then we need to focus on the right problems. And then we need to focus on being the organization that everybody wants to be a part. Like there's radiant layers of that for me, Dave.
Yeah.
And I don't know that this conversation holds weight and water and is successful inside of the IT organization of a Fortune 50, where I'm talking to the CIO who's focused on their thiefdom of IT. Totally with you. But
okay,
I do see a shift in sentiment. And maybe this was an assumption I made that everybody was focusing on. And it might not be true, that there's a shift with all of this projects to products, outputs to outcomes, blah, 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 that we have a better strategy and a better alignment to our strategy. And we all understand where we're going and we're working cross-functionally and the speed of decisions have to change and what we did yesterday. And in organizations that are taking the word agile and turning it into business agility, or they're taking the idea of outcomes away from a functional outcome to an organizational outcome or a customer expectation outcome, the debate of product versus service is not useful. You're absolutely right, Dave. I've got a handful of clients in the recent year that, like Johnny and Susie inside of middle management of the IT organization, want that promotion, and their organization actually doesn't care. Oh, that's a loaded way to say it. Their organization actually doesn't care about the outcome. They probably do, but their behaviors aren't allowing the organization to really care about the outcomes.
Yeah,
having this conversation is futile and a waste of all of our hot air.
Okay. So when we started, one of the things I wanted to try to get to by the end was a way of explaining to a company, because this, what I took away from your initial conversation was, it's really important at a company to sit down and talk about, when we say product, what do we mean? And I get that, or what I'm kind of coming away, and the thing I want to check in with you both is, it's important to have that conversation so that you can hopefully eliminate some of these boundaries that are unhelpful that people are putting in there because they just like to draw boxes around things. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that.
Like, you're not having the conversation to create more boxes. You're having the conversation to get rid of the boxes.
Yeah, I'm going to try my language and repeat back to you what I heard.
Talk like a grown-up.
The point of having the conversation is so that everybody can be a part of the actualization process.
Okay.
And by forcing more boxes or forcing the pedantic or semantic debate, we are only slowing down our organization's ability to continue to grow, enhance, and advance.
Okay. Too busy staring at the bark to see the tree or the forest.
100%. Like, there's so many common patterns. And maybe this is like my personal rub. There's so many common patterns. And arguing if we need a value structure map or a customer journey map, or if we're going to use a value chain model versus a customer experience CX model, not super useful. The usefulness of it is, do we understand where our customer enters, customer exits, and how we are going to organize? And I think this is like one of the things, Dave, with leading agile transformation work that they've always been really great at is, don't be dogmatic to a framework. Don't be dogmatic to a tool. Tailor it to what you need it to be. So if for our organization, we produce both shoes and apps, we might say we have digital products and physical products.
Sure.
And like, that's our nomenclature. But any further debate on, well, why is it digital and why is it not technology? Does it matter? Like, I don't know. I don't think it does. You're just slowing down the agreement of how we can quickly move forward.
So the parallel that just sparked for me when you were saying all that was, this is sort of like in an organization where I have a team that can't deliver in a sprint, having an argument about whether they should use story points or gummy bears or dog sizes when they estimate, completely stupid.
Correct.
Okay.
Exact same pattern. If you were to pattern what you said in the leading agile vernacular, the delivery tier debate about t-shirt sizing versus dog points versus Fibonacci numbers is equivalent to, at the portfolio layer, arguing if we're using a value stream map or a pineapple map or a customer journey map, and if we're going to label them products, services, or platforms. At the end of the day, we just need to find an agreement on the structure piece of it.
Okay.
Get over the debate so that when we say this is a product in 6 months, I don't have somebody say, nope, it's actually a service. Like that, that finger up in the air 6 months later when we're doing a quarterly business review to say, well, hold on, it's actually a service. So we need to look at the KPIs differently because we have a set of service KPIs versus product KPIs. Like that domino that ultimately occurs of like, no, service KPIs are different than product KPIs. You're so output focused again, as opposed to the outcome KPIs.
Yeah,
like that's the pattern. Again, back to your velocity was 12. Well, don't compare my velocity to that team's velocity. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Okay, I'm glad that we got to that part because that makes a ton more sense to me. Hopefully, for everyone else who's listening, Mary, do you have any final thoughts before we close this one? I mean, did we cover the topic okay?
I think so. I think I'm going to have a couple more one-on-ones with Andrew just to make sure that we're on the same page because, and again, I think I just need to
There is no page.
Right.
What is a page?
There is
exactly.
No page. It's a part of the product. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm hoping is that there's people out there that are as passionate as Andrew is about this, and I'd love to see what their comments are. Because maybe we'll have to come back and do this again.
I'm really curious, Dave, for the listeners, like, what is their definition of product? And like, I know that I've just like unwound 45 minutes of conversation now of like, hey, you tell me what you think a product is and let's argue about this because I'm curious where your argument is.
Well,
like, I'm very interested and I've been out doing that on a personal level the past couple of weeks. And my design friends are like, wrong conversation. Don't ever have that conversation. My technologists are like, it's the thing we build and we put into the world. And what I, and then I've got a whole cohort of people that's like, I don't even understand what you're trying to ask. Like, why do we care about this conversation?
Well, I think it's important. So one of the, when, cause Tim Zak was the one that kind of clued me into that part of it. And the thing that I was talking with Mary about, like, if I buy a product from Apple, there's the device that I buy, mm-hmm. but every aspect of that packaging, I would argue, is also a product in itself because it's part of that whole experience or journey, whatever you want to call it. I mean, even the way that the little plastic thing attaches to the other side of the plastic thing, that somebody spent time on that.
It's all products, and if they were done in isolation, which I think is back to kind of my core, well, we're the paper folding product team, and we know the best way to do it, but then the team that's responsible for the cellophane team, if those two things create a counter experience, the grander product is not as great. And so the cellophane paper product team and the paper team and then the iPhone team, if they say, well, we have to ship this thing with, you know, 3 millimeters of styrofoam around or else it's going to break, right? If all of those things aren't coming together. And if
then we're going to hire a styrofoam manager.
That's right. And if we're letting every team locally optimize, we're just producing garbage or have the potential to produce garbage at a slower rate and not be viewed as solving the problem.
Yep.
So systems thinking through a design lens.
I think it's just systems thinking. I the design piece isn't super relevant to me. I think it's systems thinking for outcomes.
All right. This was really fun.
I could sit here for hours, Dave, right? And we could pull on 100 different threads of this because I think this is the edge of where businesses and leaders and strategy, like I think this is really connected into like where the word strategy starts to play in because the strategy of your org tomorrow and the strategy of your org today are probably not the same as what they need to be. Like there's going to be some deltas. And if the strategy is build better things for the customers over there, and we just assume that the structure today is going to get us there, I think we're missing like a large component of the concept of strategy. Our strategy is, oh, we need to restructure. And this thing that was our primary product is now going to be a child product and it's going to be inside of a thing. But that doesn't mean, hey, product manager, we've demoted you. Your product's still really valuable. And I think like that nesting nature of it is what really causes dissonance for the people in the organization of, oh, they got more money, therefore that product's better. No, it might just be where it is and the skill set competencies to get us to where we need to go. That product still is relevant.
Yeah. That sounds great. Well, Mary, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to reach you?
They can reach out to me via email. I'm at mary.lloyd@leadingagile.com.
Okay. Or spell LinkedIn, Lloyd, right?
LinkedIn, absolutely.
How do you spell Lloyd? Because I always mess it up.
L-O-Y-D, two L's. That extra L is critical. So please include the extra L.
They would think you just didn't want to talk to them. You would never reply.
Would love to talk to y'all.
Andrew, what about you?
Same as Mary, LinkedIn or andrew.young@leadingagile.com. I love having coffee chats with people, if you can't tell. At any point, if you want to have a conversation about this, we eat this up. So Mary and I would love to, and Dave even would love to jump into coffee chats with people about this stuff.
This was a really fun, I'm tempted to ask what you're going to have for dinner, Andrew, but I'm worried you're just going to say food.
This is a place where I'm probably on the flip side because I do have some very specific jobs to be done with food, such as mayonnaise. Like that is the worst thing ever. So just saying food and you bringing me mayonnaise would fail for me. So I think tonight might be a pizza night.
All right. Well, there you go. That's good.
And I'm going to use a product and a service to get my pizza. I'm going to believe the pizza is a product, but it's also serving me. So it's a service. And the guy who made it was the service provider. Like, yeah, we can do this all day, Dave.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Never mind. I'm going to stop now. Thank you both for being here. I really appreciate it. And please leave some feedback. Let us know what you thought of this one.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Mary.
Bye.